Titus chapter 1 and verse 1. But I will read the first four verses of this letter. It makes one sentence opening the entire letter. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect, and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me, by the command of God our Saviour, to Titus, my true son in our common faith. Grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Saviour. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. I want to concentrate on verse 1 in this short discourse. I remind you, these are just thoughts on Titus. Well, you can't mistake what this letter is going to be about. A servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect, the knowledge of the truth, the preaching entrusted to this man by the command of God our Saviour, faith, grace, peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Saviour. As I say, you can be under no illusions what you're going to get here. You're not going to get some chit-chat, some idle talk. Here is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a tremendous opening to this letter. What a magnificent statement. You could spend weeks looking at this in different discourses. There's so much solid material here. But let me concentrate on this verse 1. It's a vital verse, of course, for the whole letter. Paul does this so very often. He has to, of course. In these letters, he has to mark out his imprimatur. He has to mark out his authority. We're not reading the thoughts of Paul here, the ideas of Paul, the things that have occurred to me. Paul is writing as a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's writing, as he says in verse 3, according to the command of God. God has spoken to him. God has spoken through him. God is speaking through him. And he's writing it down here. I believe myself he's declaiming it. He's preaching it. And someone else is writing it down. But he's speaking the word of God. This is the claim. Now, I believe this. And I preach this word on this basis. Do you believe it, my friend? I'm handling the word of God. I have this open at Titus chapter 1, verse 1, and I'm reading the words of Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle, a messenger, one sent by God with revelation, one who had seen the Lord Jesus Christ in his risen glory. And he speaks on the behalf of, and in the name of, and with the authority of God in Christ Jesus, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and it's for the faith of God's elect, and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. Now, what is Paul talking about here? Well, God has raised this man, converted him, saved him for his own salvation, but then commissioned him to be an apostle. For what reason? For the faith of God's elect. Now, what is Paul talking about here? God has, from everlasting past, elected a huge number, beyond human computation. He's elected this number to everlasting salvation. But they have to be brought to that salvation. Of course, this means the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to live and die for those sinners, to bleed on the cross for them, to rise again, to bear their sins in his body on the tree, and to rise again for their justification, and to ascend back into glory and ever make intercession for them. Yes. And it needs the Spirit to come and work salvation and regeneration and life and power and repentance and faith in these elect to bring them to trust the Saviour and to know the merits of his life, death, and resurrection. But it needs the apostle too to set out the glories of this doctrine. And here we have it. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect. The word faith here can mean one of two things. Scripturally, it can mean the gospel, the doctrine. And then it can mean the subjective believing, trusting. So it's objective, the gospel, the revelation, the truth. And it's the subjective, the personal trust and believing of that truth and the person that that truth speaks about. And I would see both here. Paul is a preacher and a teacher and apostle to bring the elect to a living faith. How does he do that? By preaching the gospel. The knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith of knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, the gospel and so on. He's going on to speak about it. And it's by the preaching of the gospel. How many texts I could quote here? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's by the foolishness of preaching that God is pleased to save. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The cross, the blood of Christ saves. And it's preached and preached. How shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10 and so on and so on. Many scriptures. And Paul is speaking in that vein. He preaches the gospel. He writes the gospel. He declares the gospel. He speaks about the gospel. And so on and so on. He witnesses for the gospel. Why? Because he knows it's the gospel, the truth, Christ being preached, that brings sinners, these elect sinners, into faith. But of course, it is the gospel itself he sets out. And that's what we have here. The definitive setting out of the truth of Christ coming into the world to save sinners. And all that's couched up in that. And all that's contained in that. And that's what Paul's ministry is. To set out the gospel for the faith of God's elect. What the elect have to believe. But to bring them to that living faith. And the knowledge too. It's not ignorance. It's knowledge. The mind is affected. But it's not only the mind. The heart is affected. We trust the gospel when we know the gospel. But it's not only the heart and the mind and the heart, it's the experience, and it leads to godliness, practical change of life, spirituality, Christ-likeness. I'm only giving seed thoughts here. There's a sermon on each of these words. How did Paul know the Thessalonians were elect? The first letter, chapter 1, and about verse 4, he says, "We know you're elect." Oh yes, how do we know that? Isn't it God has told us? No, we've seen it in your life. I came there and I preached the gospel, you see, for the faith of God's elect. I preached the gospel. I don't know who the elect are, I just preached. But you were drawn out. You were saved. The Spirit worked in you and regenerated you. How do we know that? How do we see that? We see the effect in your life. You turn from idols, you're waiting for Jesus, you trusted him, you love him, you believe upon him, you rely upon him, you're working for him, you're thinking for him, talking for him. Oh yes, we've seen the change, and therefore we know that you're elect, knowing, brethren, your election of God, because our gospel came to you, not only in word, but also in power. Yes, with word we preached it, but it came also with power. And it turned you, changed your life, it produced godliness in you. Am I speaking to people like that? Has that happened to you? Has the gospel come to you in word? Somebody preached it. Your mother taught you. You read it in the Bible. God spoke to you in some way. Some preacher. Some Sunday school teacher or some friend in conversation with you. But somehow or another the truth reached you. The knowledge reached you. But it reached your mind, yes. You were convinced in your mind. You were convicted in your mind about it. But then your heart began to feel it. And you began to trust the Savior. You cried out to him. You turned from your sin. And you realized you were a sinner and you turned from it. And you called out to Jesus to save you. You rested upon him. You're believing in him. And it's producing godliness in your life. Spirituality. Obedience to the apostolic gospel. This is the mark of it. This is what has to happen. It's not religion. It's not going to church or chapel. It's not saying prayers and all that sort of thing. All those things come into it, no doubt. But what it is a living experience through the knowledge of the truth, the feeling of that knowledge, the experience of that knowledge, the experience of Christ and the living of the gospel out in life. Unbeliever, this is what you need. I'm not preaching religion to you. I'm not preaching systems to you. I'm preaching Christ to you. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect, and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. And in my small way, in discoursing upon the apostle's words, I hope that my words too are bringing some poor dead sinner to life in Christ, making some sinner far off from God to be drawn near, in darkness to come into the light of the gospel. unconverted to be converted, on the road to damnation to be saved, and then to produce holiness and godliness and spirituality, Christ-likeness, in the lives of all of us who are listening, and I'm listening too. May God bless these opening remarks on the book of Titus. Paul, a servant of God, yes, blessed be God's name, he sent this man. And an apostle of Jesus Christ, yes, to preach Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior. There's no other salvation, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ, him alone. There's no other way. Islam, no. No. Buddhism, no. Theories and philosophies, no. Christ and Christ only. And we receive Christ by faith. And we know the truth. We love the truth. And we obey the truth. And it comes into our life and lives out, has lived out there by God's grace to the glory of God in godliness. But it's all down to God's grace, electing grace, all down to God's love, the work of Christ, the power of the Spirit. That's what I see here. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. May these feeble words produce some effect like this, a large effect like this. May I have the faith to believe a large effect. That is, dead sinners to live, blind sinners to see, deaf sinners to hear, dead sinners to come to a saving faith and knowledge and experience of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to produce a life of glorious godliness, all to the praise and glory and honor of God. Amen. Amen.